Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
Today, we're going to stick to the meaning that Jesus had when he told this original parable. So we have to read our Bibles in context. And the most important thing is to try to get the heart of Jesus behind it and keep it real simple. So then I saw this sign. I almost changed it, right? Then I saw this sign. It says that she OD'd, basically. Her friends stayed with her until the help came. And they didn't get in trouble. They were protected by the Good Samaritan law. And God said, Sean, people are seeing signs about the Good Samaritan all over the city. They've heard about the Samaritan. I'm with you. I want you to talk about the Good Samaritan today so that we can understand the biblical meaning of the Good Samaritan. Basically, Jesus never called the Good Samaritan the Good Samaritan. He just called him a Samaritan. Theologians gave him that name because of a man who went above and beyond what most people would do, okay? So this parable, like I said, earthly story, heavenly meaning. I'm going to start reading it. You can actually read on the screen, or you can flip your pages, or you can scroll. But please read along because it's so important that we read our Bibles. Okay, verse 25. One day, a lawyer, an expert in religious law, stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Did you catch that? The expert is testing the expert. Really? How do I get this eternal life? How do I get it? Isn't that a question that most of us have or had at one time? He's asking the question that, you know, somebody else probably wanted to know in the group. Jesus replied, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? In other words, Jesus said, you're the expert in the law. How do you read it? Tell me what you think. Look, when you test Jesus, he can handle it. He knows how to handle it. So the man answered, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So basically, he quoted Deuteronomy 6:5 and Leviticus 19:18. This man knew the scriptures. He knew what to do. Jesus says, write, Jesus told him. Do this, and you will live. Basically, right lawyer, and that's not a lawyer like a lawyer today. That's someone who was experienced with the law and the Bible, right? Jesus says, right lawyer, you know this, but now do this. Okay? The man wanted to justify his actions. So he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Okay, wait a minute. Jesus just told you, okay, I want you to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And you're asking, he skipped over all that love. Like, we should have been like, love like that? Jesus, man, I'm sorry, I don't know how to do it. I have never done that. Help me. You're standing in front of the personification of love. Instead, he gets prideful. Can we relate to that sometimes when we get convicted? And justify himself. And he's like, who is my neighbor? He really wanted to know, who isn't my neighbor? Who isn't my neighbor, Jesus? Because I've done the rest of this just right. So he skips over it. And, you know, he would have referred to his neighbor as a fellow Jew, someone that was close to him. So Jesus then rocks his world and ours, and he answers the question with a story. So when you ask Jesus a question, be prepared for him to tell you a story. Give you the answer. He will do it. It says in verse 30, Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. Okay, so I gave you the history, the background of this parable. Now we're talking about the parable. And he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. This poor Jewish man, he's traveling down a dangerous road. Jerusalem to Jericho, 18 miles, 3,000-foot descent. It's scary. It's like walking through the hood at night with no protection. You just don't do it. You know you don't do it. You know you're going to get jumped. You know it. He comes across the robbers, and they do what they're good at. They strip him, they beat him, they leave him half dead. Verse 31, by chance a priest came along, and when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed on the other side. So ain't nobody got time for that. You remember that lady? Can you just hear her? Ain't nobody got time for that. These two religious leaders saw the problem, and they said, I'm going to put some space between me and the problem because ain't nobody got time for that. Because, you know, I would have to be, if I go over there, you know, I may touch the person, and then I would be ceremoniously unclean, and then I would have to go through a whole purity ritual, and then I would really miss being at the temple like I really was supposed to be. And so, ain't nobody got time for that. And maybe the priest thought, my assistant is coming behind me, so I can go ahead and let the assistant do the dirty work. Ain't nobody got time for that. And then the assistant said, well, the priest didn't think that was so important, so ain't nobody got time for that. And so then nobody had time for that. Wow. Wow. They saw the problem, but they decided that their agenda was more important than the person. That what they had to do next was, it was better to be clean than dirty, to get to the temple than get in the ditch with the person that needed the help. So we got two people here, good people, but they missed the point about what it really means to serve God. They were servants of God, but they missed the point completely. So side note, sometimes in order to help people, you got to get dirty. You got to get thrown off your schedule. You got to get inconvenienced. You got to get in the ditch. You got to postpone other duties. Then a despised Samaritan came along. And when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. So Jews and Samaritans were hated. They were rivalry. It has history to it. The Jews considered the Samaritans dogs. They were half-breeds. I mean, this rivalry went on for years. This was bigger than any hip-hop rivalry, okay? I was trying to think of one, and I could only think of Kanye and everybody. I mean, Kanye versus everybody. Don't get mad at me, Kanye fans. I know you're out there, Joe. Don't get mad at me. You know, between the Falcons and the Saints, it's a bigger rivalry than the Falcons and the Saints. Then how about Wakanda and Talakon? Wakanda forever. Wakanda forever. Wakanda forever. I'm not going to spoil the movie. It was deep. 34. Going over, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. It's first aid in the first century. Then he put the man on his own donkey, sacrificed his own comfort, and took him to an inn. Wow. That is above and beyond. Where he took care of him. The next day, what? The boy spent the night? He handed the innkeeper two silver coins. He paid 2 days' wages? Telling him, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I will pay you the next time I'm here. Now, which of these three would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by the bandit? The man is so humbled, he says, the man replied, the one who showed mercy. The man couldn't even say the Samaritan. The one who showed mercy. Then Jesus said, yes, now go do the same. I want to make a point here. Jesus said, yes, you go do the same. It's not your pastor who says, yes, you go do the same. It's not Sean saying, yes, you go do the same. Jesus says, yes, you go do the same. Okay, this skit, the parable of the Good Samaritan today with a modern twist may look something like this.
Hey, I see you out here all unprotected in the hood. Run me that wallet, homie. Yeah, yeah, quickly, swiftly. Yeah, run me that. Yeah, them shoes look nice too, homie. Shut up!
Oh my goodness, bro. His head is bombing. That's crazy. This is gonna go viral.
That's so crazy.
to church and y'all know Jesus is Lord.
Yeah.
All right.
Bro, I am so excited for you, man. You finally made the switch to Android. Bro, I've been telling you, Androids are the best phones out there. What in the world? Hey, Angel, I gotta call you back. I gotta call you back, okay. Sir, are you okay? Are you okay? Dear God, what do I need to do?
Call 911.
Oh, that's a good idea, God.
(clears throat) 911, what's your emergency?
Yes, my name is Sam.
Sam?
Yeah, Sam I am. Yeah.
Sam I am?
Yeah.
Quit playing on my phone and give me your emergency.
Yeah, I have this guy, and he's just laying down. It looks like he got beaten up pretty bad. It looks like he got robbed.
Okay. Can you give me your location?
Yeah, I'm on the corner of Howell Mill and Collier Road, right across the street from the Chick-fil-A.
Okay, I see. I see there's a nearby unit. I'm going to send it your way. Okay?
Thank you.
All right.
What's the emergency? We'll move out of the way. Looks like you need CPR. Let's see. Yep. Hold that. 1, 2, 3.
Oh! He's alive!
Help him up.
Okay, sir. Wait. Slow. Calm down. We're gonna help you up. There we go.
Wami, Lord, Wami.
Okay. Just put your arms around us. Take it slow.
Oh, my goodness. Wami, Lord, Wami.
We got you.
All right. Did y'all know that we have professional actors and actresses in the house? I love them. Keegan, Kim, the teenagers. They were awesome. We were like, can you just put a little skit together for the and it was that. It was what just happened. It was pretty incredible. So we're going to move through this. The next question is, which character do you most relate to? The Samaritan, the person who needed help, the church lady who kind of stepped over with her pink shoes. Did you see her pink shoes? The social media peeps. Which one do you most relate to? You know, who is my neighbor? Very clear. The neighbor could be inside the building or outside the building. The neighbor is a different race, a different nationality, a different gender. The neighbor is not just the person who lives next to you. The neighbor is in our community, our church community here. The neighbor can be a friend or a foe. It can be an enemy or it can be the poor person. So Jesus was not really concerned about, you see how he turned that question around? Did you notice the question that was asked? Jesus was more concerned about who are you being a good neighbor to instead of who was the guy's neighbor. Who are we being a good neighbor to? So let me say what I'm not saying. I'm not saying you have to meet every need you see. I'm not saying that you should not have boundaries. Not saying that you should feel guilty about not doing enough. Not saying that you should give what you don't have. Not saying that you should make unwise decisions or just give things away in a transactional way like we've been talking about. I did that, check. You know, I'm not saying that there are times that you shouldn't decide that, okay, no, this is enough. We don't need to help. I am implying that everyone has, and I'm not implying that everyone has got to be involved in every cause and every case and everything that we do to serve in the community. But what I am saying is that as we become good neighbors, we become good noticers. God will show us where and how to go and do likewise. Amen. He will provide the oil, the wine, and the donkey. Did you realize that? Where did the man get the oil and the wine from? He was traveling with it, but God knew he needed it to take care of that man. God will give us what we need to take care of one another. But we need that heart of compassion. That compassion, John 3:17. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? That's what the Bible says. Compassion is being deeply moved on the inside. Deeply moved. Now, I know we've just been through how many years of COVID? And many of us feel like we have compassion fatigue. But see, Jesus and compassion fatigue? Can you imagine the fatigue Jesus could have felt, right? But he never stopped seeing the brokenness of humanity. The brokenness of humanity. This Samaritan provided mercy. Mercy, compassion, and mercy. Mercy is a compassionate kind of treatment to those in distress, whether the distress is their fault or not. And he showed grace, undeserved blessings on the man. That's exactly what God does with us in salvation. Compassionate, mercy, grace. Has anybody experienced that from God? Those are all forms of love. Right now, we need to say, thank you, God, for that love. So I did an exercise to prepare for this week, and my exercise was kind of crazy, but it was to stop every time I saw a need. That meant a need as I was driving around, a need in the stores, a need here. Every time I saw a need, to try and stop. So I'll just say this. It didn't kill me. It didn't kill me to carry some extra food and some extra coins and to look and to stop. It made me a little late some places, but it didn't kill me. But I also learned something about myself, something that Martin Luther King says. He says, on the parable of the Good Samaritan, I imagine that the first question the priest and Levite asked was, if I stop to help this man, what will happen to me? But the very nature of his, by very nature of this of the Samaritan's concern, it was reversed. The question was, if I do not stop to help this man, what will happen to him? So what I learned about myself is that oftentimes I can be pretty merciless. What will happen to me if I stop? Cloaked in a concern, but it's cloaked in I'm just too busy. Tell me if you can relate, you say amen. That's a hopeless case. The job is too big. Can we just pray? I mean, I saw that need, but can we just pray? They brought that on themselves. They never asked for help. That's somebody else's problem. I just don't feel like it. So can anybody relate to that? What goes through our mind? But Jesus says, blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. So being merciless is not a good thing. And God will put us in those positions to stretch our mercy. I'm grateful to be a part of a church that strives to be merciful and compassionate. And I hope you felt that when you walked in this door, when you interact with the Christians. We strive to be merciful and compassionate. When faced with the man in the road over and over again, we have to all make decisions about what we do with what we see. Like our pastor, Angel Maldonado, often says, we got to see things as divine assignments, which are obstacles or opportunities. That was from a class this summer. Grateful for our time at Best Academy years ago. How many of y'all go back to Best Academy? Okay, if you don't, just travel with me for a little bit. God opened a door through a 40-year friendship with Mike and the principal, Dr. Jones. That friendship began when Mike knocked on Dr. Jones' dorm room in Florida State and invited him to church and studied the Bible with him. And years later was baptized, and he is now a member of this church. God sent us to his school. It was a divine assignment. It was so that we could learn not just to walk into a community to worship and walk out. It was the first time we learned how to build a partnership with a school. When the leadership, everybody decided, we're here by divine assignment. We've got to do something while we're here. We became an extended family with Best Academy, meeting some of the needs of the seniors at the school, helping them to have an exciting senior year. Members like K.O. Cates brought SEL, an SEL program, Bridge the Gap to the school to support the students. Several members were hired to work and influence the school, like Krista Ellis, Dr. Ray Edwards, my husband, and soon to be Dr. Jazz. I had an opportunity to serve as a mental health counselor at the school. As a result of that relationship, today, we get to form a mentorship program between BEST and Ronald Blue Trust. As a result of that relationship, why do I share that past news? I share that so that we can all understand that loving the community, loving our neighbors as a church is in our DNA at the Path Church. We believe in it, and we do it. So when God opened the door for us to meet here, of course, as we buy this building, we're here to be a blessing to this community. We're excited about the spiritual and physical ways that we can meet the needs in this community. We are here not just for the people in the room, but for the people on these streets and outside this room, the people we pass by every day. So, we have already allowed our facility to be a great resource for neighborhood youth. I'm telling you this so you could know what you're a part of, and so that all of us could be more involved in it. We've collaborated with the community on initiatives like the Fulton Fresh Market, the Adamsville Community Day, the Kenny Hill Launch Pad Cleanup Day. We have also provided food and our volunteers, a lot of you, for other initiatives. For the last few years, our medical professionals, have been promoting health and wellness among the members here in this church and outside of this church by conducting medical weekends, vaccine drives, different partnerships. Several doctors have been converted as a result of being a good neighbor. For years, we've also been mobilizing the next generation through partnerships and mentorship, character education via community organization, reaching out to the high school students through sports, college students through Peacemaker Ambassador volunteer opportunities. Are you getting the picture of what we're doing? And every year, we're excited about our Hero Project. This year, is it Refresh, Replenish? Who's that group right there? CIA. This is them. They provided lunch for the Moreno's football team. Coach Moreno, who's a coach right here, for the football team to encourage the youth. We're so excited about all the groups that are doing these hero projects. So many of you have given to Be a Blessing. We have a Be a Blessing fund. We have raised over $16,000. That money is being spent, and it has gone to provide rental assistance for some moms. You know, roofs over heads, food on table, different Christmas supplies and gifts. Thank you for being a blessing. We've done some amazing things as a church, and we should be loving our neighbors as a church. We should also be loving our neighbors as a lifestyle. Yeah. As a lifestyle. So, as we are in this Thanksgiving season, and we're thinking about, you know, wow, I have so much. I have so much to give, and I want to give it somewhere. You have an opportunity to give it. James 2, I want to leave you with this scripture. It says, suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say goodbye and have a good day. Stay warm and eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough unless it produces good deeds. It is dead and useless. We want all to have the same opportunities, right? We all have different capabilities, different schedules, different life stages. And yes, older folks, we don't have the same energy. But that is okay. We are responsible to do what we can do with what we have. We are responsible to take the oil and the donkey and the wine and help take care of one another. Don't just wait for the big things that the church does. Do the little things that nobody sees and nobody will praise. What does it look like? It looks like the brother in this church who noticed the need to collect men's clothing, organize a clothing drive, and folks like Mr. Bob gathered up his clothes and brought them here and took care of that need. Thanks, Rashad. A sister in this church who noticed homeless folks needed blankets as the weather gets colder and started her own blanket drive, and she personally goes out to hand them out on her own for a couple of years now. Thank you, Miss Gail. A sister who noticed another sister may need some extra help around the house went over and cleaned out that sister's refrigerator. Thank you, Christina Morris. A sister who offered to commit to sharing the gospel with a new friend that she just met. Thank you, Robin. The singles who have collected bag lunches to give out served at the Atlanta Food Bank. Thank you, singles. A sister who went to give a new mom a break just because a new mom needs a break sometimes. Thank you, Tiffany. A future driver, this is the future now, a future driver who offers to pick up students from the AUC and bring them to church on Sundays and take them home. Amen, future driver. Christians who decide to spend some time in the area getting to know their neighbors, studying the Bible with them, and baptizing them. Thank you, my husband, Patterson, and our new brother, Kerry. One person who is willing to stop, notice, be compassionate, set aside a busy schedule, sacrifice, can impact generations the same way the story of the Samaritan does. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. In Jesus, you gave us everything when you gave us him. Thank you for his body that was broken for us, his blood that was shed for us, so that we could live an everlasting life. Help us to live lives worthy of that sacrifice. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.